Time is 8:34. Very good morning to you. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem, 101.9 High FM. It is Military Monday. Joining me in a studio, Major David Katz. David, a very good morning. How
morning,
are you?
Morning, Howard. Great. Thank you. Yourself, how are you doing?
Excellent. Thank you very much for asking.
My pleasure.
All right. So there's big news happening in the South African Defence Force.
No, it is quite big news, and I think it's reasonably controversial, depending on where you come from. In that, the names of 52 South African Army Reserve Force units have been changed to reflect the new political dispensation, 25 years after the event.
I was going to say, 25 years later.
Yeah.
All right.
So
it didn't take long at all.
Yeah. This is something that maybe should have been dealt with. I mean, I've got no argument in re-looking at the names and the relevancy of some of the names and looking to be more inclusive. But that it comes a quarter of a century after 1994, I suppose, comes as a bit of a blow. But it had to happen, and here we sit with the new names of 52 South African Armed Reserve Force units.
So I mean, how much have they changed?
It's quite extensive and quite interesting. My own regiment, for instance, which was known as the South African Irish Regiment, has now been renamed to the Andrew Mlangeni Regiment. That's quite a change.
Elangeni.
Mlangeni, yeah.
Oh, I like the Elangeni because that was that hotel.
Reminded you of the hotel.
I think
what's troubling a little bit to me is Andrew Mlangeni is still alive. He's a 94-year-old struggle stalwart. I think he's on the ethics committee of the ANC. And, to rename a unit after a living person, it starts to feel a little bit like Popsky's Private Army, you know, that type of thing. I have a bit of an issue with that. So the rationale behind renaming the units is that they wanted to reflect the current military traditions of the South African Army.
Okay.
Which is fair enough. And the old names reflected the armies of the Union Defence Force and the old South African Defence Force. And what's interesting over here is that most of the English regiments have been renamed after chiefs and struggle stalwarts, but a few of the Afrikaans regiments have retained their names, like Regiment Boerter and Regiment Delarey have now been renamed to General Boerter and General Delarey. So the Afrikaans regiments have come off better than the old English regiments, like the Transvaal Scottish and the South African Irish.
How did that work? I mean, did they go through them obviously and say, well, this Delarey bloke was kind of okay, so therefore we'll stick with it? Or was there a different criteria?
Well, in their words, I said, the process accommodated regional uniqueness and allowed for acknowledgement of military heroes and past events, as well as creating a space to accommodate local military history not reflected in the structure of the current SA Army. So they gave recognition to past heroes, maybe of different groups. And that's why some of the Afrikaans regiment names survived. One of the regiments was renamed to Jan Smuts Regiment, which is very, very interesting. So you've got General Boerter Regiment and the Jan Smuts Regiment, which are two of the biggest imperialists
at
that time. So you can't really talk of decolonization at the end of the day. So I'm sure those, and there are a lot of followers of the old Jan Smuts. I'm sure they're quite happy to have a regiment named after him and him giving recognition after many, many years actually of not getting recognition from the nationalist government. So we now have a Jan Smuts regiment, which is very, very interesting.
Incredible. What does it cost to rename all these regiments? It must be quite a story.
Well, absolutely. I think the whole process behind it was a committee. It wasn't a small process. A committee was formed, headed by a General Kampfer, and they went out and engaged in a consultative process together with the regiments. That must have cost a pretty penny, because it took a few years to actually do that. So now they come back, and you've got all the parades of laying down the colors of the old regiments. So you're talking maybe 40 regiments affected by this, and they're going to have to lay down their colors at great expense, because that's a parade, and these parades cost a lot of money and time and expenditure. Not only that, but all the stationery has got to be changed, and you can imagine the costs. I can't put my finger on the exact cost, but it's not a cheap exercise.
Why would they have done this now?
I think it's belated. A question is, did they need to do it? And I say yes. I think it's fair that the names of the regiments should reflect the current dispensation to a certain extent, and I think they've gone some of the way to retaining some of the names that are still relevant to certain sectors of the population. I think that's fine. I think if you ask me why now, I think it's more of the fact that it was a delay. I don't see, there may have been a political motive. Good few years ago, but this process was started a long, long time ago. This wasn't started yesterday. It was started a good few years ago. And it's taken a hell of a lot of time to come through. So I don't think you can't read any special significance into the timing of the event right now, but it's certainly quite late after 1994. It would have been preferable if this happened 5 or 6 years after the democratic dispensation. I think it would have gone down.
And how does this kind of a process work? I mean, is there consultation, or is it because it's the army, the guys in charge just sit down and work this out, what all the new regiments should be called?
There was a process of consultation where the units were given a choice of 5 or 6 names to choose from. And they were heard as to anything outside of the 5 or 6 names. But the final choice of names wasn't left up to you, to the unit. You could put forward a name, and if that committee had approved that name, then it would have approved it. But there was a sort of consultative process, but I think they had a mission, and it came from the top to try and choose names that would reflect what's going on with the current politics in South Africa. So, yeah, to a certain extent, there was consultation.
How has this been received?
Well, in certain sectors, not well, by the old unit members and the associations, the old associations, the Transvaal Scottish Association, South African Irish Association.
Look, we don't even have a Transvaal anymore, so even that's outdated.
Well, surely, yes, agreed with you, but I think it's been received quite badly in certain sectors where people feel that you're throwing away an age-old history. And we're denying the history. Sort of goes back to removing statues of a history type of thing and putting them in a little corner somewhere. And it's the same type of feeling with this. Whether that's fair or not is a debatable subject. Some of these regiments most probably are very, very anachronistic and don't belong in the new dispensation that we have here. But others feel that there's a tradition that could have been carried on. And it's unfair to lay it to rest at the end of the day. Difficult question to depending on where you come from.
34519 or 0618951019. Do you think that these names should have been changed? And what does it say about some of our past? Time is 8:43. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem, 101.9 High FM. One of our listeners just called in to say, David, that given the amount of pressure that South Africans are under, given where the rand is at and the terrible strain on the economy, isn't this a complete waste of money? If I am paraphrasing, if I am rephrasing in a way that doesn't reflect what you said, please let us know. But let us know, David, what is your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that's a fair question. It's a question of priorities. Do we need to prioritize this type of thing at this stage where we are going backwards economically? And there are most probably more important issues that we need to address, more urgent issues that we need to address. And we could apply this type of money to a better cause. There's others that will turn around and say, now, if not now, when? When is it going to happen? It's already been delayed by 25 years. And the history and historiography of the country is important. And the army needs to reflect the current political situation, and there's an urgency in that South African citizens need to be proud of the regiments that represent her, and this is long overdue, and it isn't a matter of urgency. So it's open to debate depending from where you come from. So I suppose you could rationalize both sides of the argument. So it's a good question. I would say to you, yes, it raises concerns, and most probably this is ill-timed. Was there ever a good time for it? I don't know.
Yeah, wouldn't we always have said this? No matter when this happened, yes, we would have said, we need to fix education, we need to put money into healthcare, why are we spending money on this? No matter when it occurred, we would have said the same thing.
It depends why it's been disputed. If it's been disputed on political grounds, there's arguments for or against. If it's been disputed on economic grounds, there's arguments for and against. So there's a lot of valid arguments. I think the name changes had to come through. They had to be more representative, and the timing's just appalling. It is it, It's a bad time. But I suppose, you know what, throw it in the mix and let's get on with it.
Get on with it, yeah. M says, good balance, that some of the old names were kept. And Unsigned says, I do think that changing the names of the Citizen Forts unit is significant. They have illustrious histories and tradition. Will the SA Irish, Transvaal, Scottish be forced to drop the use of their kilts? Will the bagpipes bands be disbanded? Who will continue to be members of these units? Our permanent force units are in chaos, and now we focus on focus our attention on this. Create new units that enable other members to join. Interesting comment.
Yes, absolutely, and a lot in that. Let me just deal with the first part. Is that a lot of the associations will try and carry on the traditions of the old unit. So the associations will carry on, and anybody in that unit is entitled to become a member of the association and carry on with the history. In fact, I've been approached to write a couple of regimental histories for some of these associations. So the associations will carry on with the culture of the unit. When it comes to the bands, I don't want to speak for all the bands, but there are, I do know that some of the units will retain the bands, the kilts will be retained, and even the name bands will be retained. That's just hearsay at the moment. I can't guarantee that, but they will trade under their new names. But as they, for example, the Belangeni unit, mm-hmm. The pipes, the South African Irish pipes and drums of the Melangeni unit. So they will hopefully carry on, happily carry on as they are, and retain some of those traditions, although the name has been changed.
Absolutely fascinating. That's where we leave it. Major David Katz, thank you as always for your information and your input on Military Mondays. It is 8:47. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem 101.9 High FM.